Now, the college is underway, and we come now to the first day in class. And in chapter 10, the school bell is rung, and then the young student now is given some guidelines for his life. How important. These are the lessons that we're to learn in the school of Christ. And technically, we have here the Proverbs of Solomon written and set in order by himself. Now, will you notice? The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Have you ever noticed this in life? That if a father has a son that has gone to school and made good grades, and maybe he's even become an outstanding athlete, the old man goes around and brags about it. He tells everybody where his work's. My boy, he's a PhD and he's teaching in college. Or my boy, he's on the football team. Have you ever heard a man talk like that? But suppose the boy went and failed and he didn't make the team. The old man, he doesn't say anything about it at all. He keeps his mouth shut. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. It's the mother that grieves at a time like that. The father just keeps quiet about it and ignores it. What a picture this is of life. A wise son and a foolish son. You can be either one. And then he says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now again, Christ has been made unto us not only wisdom, but righteousness. He delivers from death. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. And this is true to life of how men that have got together a great fortune, they've gone off and left that fortune. Never really meant much to them. They never really enjoyed it at all. But the very interesting thing is that God will bless the righteous man. And that's been true in life, friends. Oh, he'll have his problems and his difficulties, and he's having it rough today, but oh, what a satisfaction and a blessing there is in serving the Lord. I have not been calling attention to it very much since I mentioned it, but there's a proverb that will fit every character in the Bible. And I'm of the opinion that a proverb will fit every person. Or let me turn that around and say there is a proverb for every individual. Some are good and some are bad, of course, but they are quite remarkable. Now, who do you think of in connection with Jehovah will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish? Well, there's a young fellow by the name of Joseph down in Egypt that thought that he'd come to the end, that God had forgotten him. And yet he had great faith. And this man was brought out of prison, became prime minister down in the land of Egypt. This verse certainly fits him. Verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, who do you think of as being a man that this would fit? Well, how about Abraham? How generous he was in all that he did in his giving. He told Lot, you just take any part of the land you want, and I'll take what's left. It takes a very generous man to divide real estate like that, you know. And how about he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand? That man Lot looked down and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, my, that's the place to go. I think Abraham was very foolish not to go down there, and he'd have top priority. But since he's given me the opportunity to choose, I'll choose that down there. With a very slack hand, very selfishly went down there. He lost everything. And what a picture that you find here. And then this reveals also something else. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. There are two words that won't go together in the Bible. Faith and laziness do not mingle. A lazy Christian is not a Christian with real faith in God. And one that is diligent, I tell you, is one that will work one that will labor. When the Lord called the Apostle Paul, he didn't get a lazy individual. Now we read in verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now you have here a contrast again between the boy that is diligent. He's called wise here because he works in summer. And the one that sleeps during the time of harvest, the lazy one, he's the one that is not going to get the job done. I'd say, Christian friend, that you need to recognize that God wants to train you and school you. I remember that I was a pastor in a little church, and I had a wonderful wife, and she encouraged me. I was never satisfied. I wanted to do something more for God than I was doing there. And so she encouraged me to finish working on my doctor's degree and studying the Bible, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And I took advantage of that period, and I thank God for it. Someone said, how do you have time? Having been pastor here in Southern California of two churches, that you're so busy all the time. When did you prepare? Friend, you go back to Texas, to a little town where I had 5 years. And I tell you, I spent that time studying. And the day came when God enabled me to use that. And I would say to any young person today, you want to be used to God, then wherever you are, begin to prepare yourself. Remember, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. God's given you time now to prepare. Take advantage of it. Oh, these are tremendous truths. My friend, these are eternal truths. And the interesting thing is, these are truths not to soar around up yonder in the heavenlies, although they're going to fit in mighty well there. They're right down here on the sidewalk. And if they can't walk on the sidewalk in your town, there's something wrong with them. But the interesting thing is, if they don't work for you, there's nothing wrong with them. There's something wrong with us. Now notice what he says in verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the lawless. And what a picture that you have here of certain individuals that are in the Word of God. Blessings are upon the head of the just. That's Samuel, is it not? Violence covereth the mouth of the lawless. That's Saul. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the lawless shall rot. And think of that today in connection with certain individuals that a few years ago were famous, but today they're beginning to fade out. And I'm of the opinion the men of this generation will be forgotten in the next 50 years. But it's quite interesting that men like Dwight L. Moody and women like Queen Victoria and certain other individuals go farther back like Abraham Lincoln, they're recognized. This is a true proverb. These proverbs, my friend, just fit right down in life. And we read verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. That word-mouth fool, one who is always talking, he's wise in his own conceit, and he does a lot of talking. But the wise in heart, he'll receive commandments. You remember there was a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar? He listened to Daniel. He prospered. There's another king by the name of Belshazzar. He was a fool. And one night at a banquet, why, that happened to be the end for him. And then verse 9, he that walketh in integrity walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Or, if you want it in our proverb today, honesty is the best policy. Then we have here verse 10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Here is something that's quite interesting. The eye and the mouth should be in agreement. When you see a man say something and wink, it means he doesn't mean what he said. His mouth and his mind are not in agreement. And when they're not in agreement, well, it'll cause a great deal of sorrow. After all, who does this fit? Well, how about Judas? The kiss of Judas certainly was a kiss of betrayal because it denoted affection, and it certainly didn't mean that for him. Then will you notice verse 11 here? The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the lawless. Now, all of these are very outstanding proverbs, but in this section here, you'll find certain guidelines for the young man. And I'm going to hit those now as high places. The next one is verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. All the time the wise man is gathering up knowledge. And the foolish, he's got one foot in a banana peeling with the other one in the grave all the time. And then we find here in verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. And this is a tremendous proverb and one that we need to recognize here in verse 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Who you think of in that connection? Well, that was Abel. You remember he was raising sheep. He brought a little lamb. The produce of the lawless is sin. That's Cain. He brought the fruit of the ground. What a picture that you have here in these. I think I probably ought to drop back to verse 13 because we have one here that's represented. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. The whole world came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But now notice the rest of the verse. But a rod is for the back of him that's void of heart. How about the son of Solomon, Rehoboam? He would not listen to the advice given to him by the wise man. He listened to the young man. And as a result, it brought destruction upon him. Now, what a picture that you have here. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Paul says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death. And that means for the Christian. And means death. That means separation from God in the way of fellowship. God's not going to fellowship with a carnally minded person, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, the proverb here, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. That is, fellowship with God. It meant salvation for Abel, and the produce of the lawless is sin. And this is the carnal minded man, and it certainly is a picture of Cain. Now, we find here in verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. And this would apply to the son of David, Absalom. He wouldn't listen, and he made a big mistake in going against his own father, who was an expert in warfare. He'd had a lot of experience. Now, we find here in verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Two things here. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. What a terrible thing it is to have someone that pretends to be your friend, and then you discover that they're really your enemy. That person actually is a fool. You'll get on to them after a while. And he that uttereth a slander, he's a fool, you see. God gave a law to his people in Leviticus 19:16. He says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. And again, he says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Don't flatter the man when you actually hate him, and don't slander the man. You have that in Scripture. Remember, Joab pretended to be a friend of Abner, and he lured him out of the city, and he killed him, and he died as a fool died. You remember, that's what David had to say of him. He died like a fool. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, he that uttereth a slander, is a fool. And then we're told in verse 19, in the multitudes of words thou wantest not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Have you ever noticed any of these government decrees that are handed down? I have one. I don't have it with me today. I have it in my file. It's on cabbage. And I think that it just has to do with the cabbage. That's it. And I think there's 25,000 words in that little edition that they put out about cabbage. But how many words are they in the Lord's Prayer? Not very many. About the 23rd Psalm? And how about Lincoln's Gettysburg Address? He gave many long speeches. Nobody's ever remembered them, but the world, I don't think, will forget the Gettysburg Address. In the multitudes of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the lawless is of little worth. What tremendous statements, and I will not go into many of these here today. And we're told the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of heart. And again, I'd bring Samuel and Saul before us here as examples of this. Samuel, a great judge and man in Israel, but that man Saul was not that. Then you have in verse 22, the blessing of Jehovah, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. This is something that we need to remember. Those that live in pleasure, they think that they are living it up. The jet set think they're living it up. But the closer they get to the end of life, life becomes actually unbearable. I saw pictures on TV of a banquet that was put on. It was a political affair, but those that were there were the rich. And they were there, of course, for a purpose. Both parties are, you know, they after the rich. They're supportive. There wasn't a happy face in that crowd. The camera panned the entire audience. And I thought, my, here they are at a banquet, and jokes are being told, but there's not a happy face in the crowd. The thing is, I think Christians, by their indifference to moral and doctrinal wrong, and by being lax in their way of living, that they're missing a great deal today. The blessing of Jehovah, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it at all. What a picture. And then verse 23 is another advice to a young man, by the way. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. What good advice to a young man. And then verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send it. You ever send a lazy boy on an errand, and then you stand first on one foot and the other waiting for him? And that's just like getting vinegar in your teeth or get smoke in your eyes. And we have here, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That was certainly true in the Old Testament. God promised long days to those that obeyed him. And somebody says, well, doesn't he promise that today? No, he promises us eternal life. That, by the way, is a little better quality of life as well as quantity. And verse 30, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. You want to look at history with that in view? All of the great kingdoms, the kings and captains have departed, and they disappear. The Caesars, the Napoleons, the Alexanders, the great, the pharaohs, they're all gone. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. And neither will communism prevail. And the very interesting thing is, neither will democracy. Because God has a form of government that is a monarchy. And dictatorship, there'll be no dictatorship like the ruling of Jesus Christ over this earth.